The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Well, good morning again. Welcome to Life Connection. My name's Jason. I'm one of the pastors here. Grateful that you could be with us. We are starting a brand new series this morning. We're going to travel several weeks considering what it might look like to grow in wisdom. This is an important topic, I think, for us in our day because we live in the most plentiful information age in world history. There is more access to more information, more knowledge than at any time in all of recorded history. I mean, I think about my own life. I sit and I watch movies or I watch a show and I've got my phone next to me because invariably some character comes on. I'm like, huh, what else has that person been in? And there was a day when, you know, you just had to have an argument with a friend about what movie they were or were not in. Now all I have to do is turn to IMDb, and it tells me exactly all the shows. I can see where they cross over. But now, I mean, even better than that, like, I can go to ChatGPT. I've got five ingredients. What can I make with these five ingredients tonight? Like, we have this just information overload at our fingertips. And yet, information in and of itself cannot form us into people who are wise. I mean, we can tend to think that because I have access to all this information, that I can basically end up solving any problem that can come my way. And yet, we all know that that isn't the case, that knowledge and information alone are not enough. One person said it this way: knowledge is knowing what to say. Wisdom is knowing when and how to say it. Those are different things. We need knowledge, we need information, but we need to be changed and transformed in the inner person that we could become wise in how we walk through this life in light of our God. And that's so important for us because of the political polarization we experience. The questions about raising children in this digital Babylon, as one author has put it, we need wisdom to know how to navigate all of life's twists and turns. Wisdom is knowing how to live and how to live in light of our God, who He is and how He created our world to be. And so over the next several weeks, that's what we want to press in and look at together. We want to remind ourselves that living a wise life is more than simply knowledge and information. It's more than having a lot of wise sayings. Because we all know the person who knows what to say, knows how to think about a certain issue, and yet their life doesn't match up with what they claim. And so we need to be shaped and formed and fashioned into people who are living wisely. Wisdom begins and ends with Jesus. That's what we're going to see as we look to God's word. And so in Proverbs 9, we have this amazing picture of two ways: the way of wisdom and the way of folly. They're very different leaders, very, very different guides, if you will, in this world. And the first thing that we see as we look at these two ways of life, the way of wisdom and the way of folly, is that they have contrasting visions for life. Look again at verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of my wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. But Lady Folly says this, 13, the woman Folly is loud. She's seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling on those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that dead are there, and her guests are in the depths of Sheol. There's contrasting visions for life. Lady Wisdom shows us that to walk in wisdom takes work. It's hard labor. It's not easy. She builds her house. She sets forth this amazing feast of the finest meats and wine. It takes work to become someone who walks in wisdom. We have this picture of these two houses on either side of the road, both calling for our attention. And Lady Wisdom in her palatial house, her palace seat, calls men and women to come enjoy this feast of fine food and wine. We have this picture of the majesty of wisdom. And all of this takes work. But Lady Folly looks very different. The words that were given of Lady Folly is that she is sitting there slovenly, idle, disheveled, unkempt, sitting back, calling us, inviting us to veer from our way, to come to her place. That we could have the base desires of our heart, and that they're pleasurable, they're sweet. There's an enjoyment that can be found. And yet, this is a cheap substitute for what God has invited us to experience from Lady Wisdom. Rather than fine meat and fine wine, there is simply bread and water at Lady Folly's house. She plays on our base desires, our need for food, for protection, for fulfillment, for pleasure. And as we pursue that vision of life, what we discover is that these things can't fulfill on what they set out to give us. And so there's this contrasting invitation. A contrasting invitation. Lady Wisdom invites us to experience and grow in wisdom, that we might learn how to live wisely in this world. And to live wisely in this world is to live in right relationship with God, that we might understand who He is and how He created things to be. And so to live and walk wisely is to become a kind of person who is shaped by God Himself. And the thing is Lady Wisdom invites everyone to the table. Anyone who wants to come, taste and see that the Lord is good, can sit at the table and gain wisdom. That as you sit at the table of the Lord, you can grow in wisdom to know how to walk through this world honoring God and living for the good of others. That's the invitation of Lady Wisdom, but Lady Folly, as we have already said, provides a cheap imitation. Oh yes, you can have what you desire, and you can have it on the cheap. It doesn't take any work or effort. You don't have to care about what you look like, how you present yourself. You don't have to worry about any of those kinds of trappings. You can just come and you can experience any of your base desires that you want. It's easy. It's stolen bread. It's sweet water. And it tastes as such at first until shame and guilt set in. It cannot deliver on what it promises. I mean, that's the point of verse 18. Lady Folly and those who follow in her way have no concern or knowledge of the consequences. It's merely fulfilling the base needs and desires of life. But lurking in the shadows is death, an emptiness, a void that can only be filled by God. And yet, when we walk in the way of Lady Folly, all we'll ever be able to experience is the momentary pleasure of that desire fulfillment, but coming very soon is an experience of separation from God and the life that he provides for us. I mean, we all like the taste of sin. And the problem is, it's the problem that has faced humanity since Genesis chapter 3, when the enemy of our soul came to Eve and presented to her an alternative way of life that she could come to experience something that God must be withholding from her. And yet it doesn't deliver on the promise, leaves her and us unfulfilled. I mean, part of what this invitation of this contrasting vision for life reminds us is that we need to be the kinds of people who are doing hard things. It's easy to walk in the way of folly, but it's difficult to walk in the way of wisdom. It's easy just to give in to those base desires, that desire for protection, instead of pressing in, putting yourself out there, spending time with people. It's easy to go within the shell to protect ourselves. But we need to be the kinds of people, if we want to be shaped into the image of Jesus, we need to be the kinds of people who are doing hard things. Because as Lady Wisdom shows us, it's only in doing the hard things that we get to experience the fruit of wisdom. Wisdom begins and ends with Jesus. So the way of wisdom, the way of folly, are both a way of formation. That's what we see in the central section tying to those two visions of life together. Verse 7, whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wise. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you will be wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. The way of wisdom is the way of formation. That's what we have to understand. It's not just knowing zippy, wise sayings. We have to be formed in the deepest recesses of our heart to become certain kinds of people. Our lives are formed over time. You're not made or lost in a lone, solitary decision. But over time, your choices become your character, and your character becomes your destiny. And so we must understand that we are formed in certain kinds of ways over time, that knowledge and information are not enough. I mean, we know the person who knows the right things to do but doesn't live by them. We know the person who knows all about personal finance and yet whose financial situation is a disaster. We know the person who knows all the right things to say about parenting and yet their home life is a wreck. It isn't enough to simply or merely know information and knowledge. No, we need to be formed into certain kinds of people who can relate to our world in wise ways because we are rightly relating to God, being changed and transformed in the heart to be wise people. And so the scoffer then is the one who has been formed in such a way that they won't accept correction of any kind. They have a sense of superiority, and when that superiority is challenged, they laugh, shout, mock, and scoff. That person is dangerous. And becoming that kind of person is dangerous for our souls, because it leads to an ultimate separation from God. You want to do life your way? That's fine. Go for it. And you do so on your own, apart from God and apart from his people. But the wise person, it says, walks in light of the Lord. The wise person isn't perfect. The wise person is someone who does take correction from the Lord and from others. The wise person is open to walking in community with others, being able to have people around us that we can ask how we can improve. How are we doing? What do you see in me? The wise person accepts, invites correction, so we can become the kinds of people who can walk through this life wisely in light of who our God is. You see, wisdom comes by way of relationship with the Lord. That's what it means in verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Beginning of wisdom here doesn't mean the start of wisdom and then it goes off in a different kind of direction. It just means this is the principle, the foundation of all wisdom. The starting point and foundation of all wisdom comes in relationship to the Lord. And what this does is remind us that we're responsible for our own choices. Like that's what he says in verse 12. If you're wise, then you're wise for yourself. If you scoff, you're alone. You alone will bear it. Like while we're to walk in community with one another, I can't borrow character from you to become a certain kind of person. It is incumbent upon me to walk with the Lord. And so we need to walk in close relationship with Jesus. That's what he means when he says the fear of the Lord. This idea that within us, we have a right relationship with God. We look to him in awe and worship. We don't walk with him flippantly. We walk with him as the one who is the source of life, who's the source of transformation. Walking as a follower of Jesus in this world isn't like being a NASCAR, where we just add the brand of Jesus to the hood. Walking in the way of Jesus is walking in such a way that we're relating rightly to Jesus, that our lives could be changed and transformed over time. That starts by giving ourselves over to Christ. Like that's the invitation for us this morning. Lady Wisdom sends out her servants, invites everyone to come to the table. You're invited this morning to come to the Lord's table. And that happens by giving yourself over to Jesus, trusting him at his word, believing on him for all of life. You see, what the Proverbs remind us, as Paul Tripp says, is that embedded within them is actually the Bible story in a nutshell. What we see here is the way in which God intends for things to be. That we're to be the kinds of people who walk in wisdom because we're in right relationship with God, but sin enters into our world and corrupts everything. And so now, just as we prayed earlier, we want wisdom, but we want it on our own terms. And yet, God provides for us a Savior in Jesus, that we could come to know him, have our lives changed and transformed by him, that we could then be people who are growing in wisdom. Wisdom is about formation. It's not about knowing the right things to say. It's not about having lots of wise sayings memorized. Those things are important, but they must come in their proper perspective. We need to have hearts that are aligned with the Lord so that as we grow to understand the way he created things to be, we can live in light of that. I mean, that's what we need, isn't it? Because think about it. There are so many things that are going on in our lives and our world that we have no verse for. When should your child have a smartphone? Like, which of the Gospels tells us that? But the Lord has given us everything we need to walk wisely through this world. And it comes as we grow in our understanding of who he is and we grow in our relationship with him, that we might be changed and transformed into people who think about things like parenting wisely. So how do we walk in this kind of wisdom? How do we walk in the way of wisdom? It begins by looking to Jesus and cultivating a relationship with him. Doing the hard relational work. If we want to grow to be people who are formed into the image of Jesus, then we need to do hard things. We need to be the kinds of people who are doing hard relational work that we might grow to love Jesus more and more. That we might grow to know him, know his heart. That we might become the kinds of people who look at this world through his eyes. That we would take on the mind of Christ and be able to look at our world, our families, our workplace, our school classrooms. Like we could look at every area of our life through his eyes. We need to have our heart disposition changed. So we could become people who grow in wisdom and not become scoffers, relying on our own resources and strength. And so we need one another. I mean, that's what this passage is reminding us of. If we want to grow in wisdom, then we need one another. We need the Lord to work in us to change our hearts and our disposition toward him so that when we walk with one another, we can help encourage and correct as we need. I mean, this is one of the whys of the Women's Forum. I want to say a quick word about the Women's Forum because I think we could look at that and think, well, I'm not struggling in those kinds of ways, and so maybe the Women's Forum isn't for me. But what we need to understand is that is an opportunity for formation. That maybe right now I'm not walking through that kind of weariness and anxious worry, loneliness. But this would be an opportunity to prepare for it. Because there is going to come a day when anxious worry knocks on your door. Just as it has others. And so this is an opportunity to prepare our hearts that we could walk wisely through those kinds of seasons of life. But not only that, it's an opportunity for us to be formed so that we can help others walk through those kinds of seasons of life. So it isn't just about those who are struggling. It's about all of you. Like, I'm looking forward to listening to the audio so that I can learn and grow myself. Like, we all need to grow in wisdom in these kinds of ways. And finally, this passage reminds us the place and the role of Jesus' mission in the way of wisdom. Lady Wisdom sends out her servants to call all those who would come to sit at her table and to feast, to grow in wisdom. And Jesus has sent his followers out to be the kinds of people who are inviting others into the family of God, pointing others to the one in whom wisdom is found, Jesus. And this is one of the values of having Family VBS this summer. We have this opportunity to invite people in to point them to the one who can give wisdom. And so if we're going to walk in wisdom, we need to remember that it's about formation. It's about being deeply formed and shaped into certain kinds of people who love the Lord and love others and are learning to walk wisely through this life. And it all begins and ends with Jesus. And so that's why every week we take part in the Lord's Supper, because we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded. This is a feast. We have been invited to the table. Jesus gave of his body and his blood. His broken body and his shed blood are the very means by which we can become people who love God and are walking in the way of wisdom. And so if you know Jesus, then this is an invitation to come forward, to remember what he's done on your behalf, asking the Lord to shape your heart that you might become a person who walks in the way of wisdom, that we could grow to look more and more like him over time. Wisdom begins and ends with Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, that you have spoken to us by it, that you have given it to us, that we might know you. We want to become men and women who are walking in wisdom. And so help us. Help us in these moments today. And as we continue to progress through the series, help us to come to understand what it might look like to be wise people. And we might understand who you are, how you want us to live in this world. Help us to invite others to the table, that they might come to know Jesus and be able to live by his wisdom. We thank you for what you're going to do in our lives as we look to the wisdom in Proverbs. Shape and form us from the inside out to look more and more like Jesus, and we pray this in his name. Amen. So as we leave, let's leave looking to Jesus and setting our sights this week to do hard things, to do the kinds of things that are going to help us cultivate a relationship with the Lord, to do the hard work that we might be shaped and transformed in the way of wisdom. And the only way that that's going to happen is if we look to Jesus. Hear these words. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time.